I want Sarah to go next year, but I think we're going to have some backup for childcare. She did have a good time away. Well, last Sunday we were reminded and we were talking about the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing, right? That keeping our priorities right in life is such an important part of following Christ. And for us to truly live on purpose, we do have to keep our priorities in the right order. To stay on mission, we do have to keep the main thing, the main thing. And you would all say, yes, okay, that's great, we get it. It's such a simple concept. But I think it's one of the things that we struggle with significantly in life. Keeping the main thing, the main thing. Keeping our priorities straight. Because so many other things pull us and pull out our attention and pull out our time and squeeze out all the important things in our life. And so here at NAS Family, we're focused on three simple priorities: loving God wholeheartedly, loving others faithfully, and loving our community authentically. We're all about reaching up to God, reaching in to faith fellowship and community, and reaching out to our community and serving others. So here's the thing, y'all. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time loving other people sometimes. I mean, when God said, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you know, that's a lot easier for me because I think about all that God has done for me, all that God has given to me, all of his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy and his love and how awesome he is. And I may not do it perfectly, but I want to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I want to love him because of how great and how awesome he is. And then I look at my neighbor. I mean, nothing against my literal neighbors, but when I encounter people out there, there are days I really wish Jesus would have just left off that second part of his greatest commandment, right? You remember when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What summarizes everything that God wants us to do with our lives and how to live? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I'm like, got it. Yes, I'm with you. That's good, Jesus. I'm right there. But then he said, the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to say, really, Jesus? Have you met my neighbor? You spent much time with people down here? You ever been to Walmart, Jesus? Do you really know these people? How about if I can just pick and choose the neighbors I want to love? Here's the thing. In this central teaching, in this core teaching, Jesus is pointing to the heart of the way that God created us, the way that God made us. God made us for relationship. He made us for relationship with God and for relationship with others. One of the early church leaders, Augustine, prayed, "You made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." So at the core of the teaching of all of Scripture is that we were created to live in relationship with God, but we were also made to live in relationship with others. And when we aren't in right relationship with God, then relationship with others just won't work right. It doesn't work out that somehow this vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with others are inextricably tied together. They're connected to one another in a way that you can't break them apart. So much so that Jesus instructs his followers. He says, when you go to worship, when you go to sing praise songs, when you go to make an offering, if you recognize that there is some issue in a relationship with your brother, if there's something your brother has against you, go and make it right with them and then come and worship God. In other words, Jesus says you can't separate the vertical and the horizontal relationship. They're tied together. They're inextricably connected. I heard someone once say that people were made to be loved and things were made to be used. And the problem with our world today is that we love things and we use people. And so I want us, as we think about priorities and how we keep the main thing, and prioritize relationship with God and others, I want us to dig a little bit deeper on this today. Because I think we really were made for each other. Have you ever been around an engaged couple? I don't know about you, but whenever we go out to eat, it seems like they often sit us next to the newlyweds, right? I see a couple of newlyweds over here. Are you guys still newlyweds, or are you past that point? Okay. They're still holding hands in church, you know. That means that they're newlyweds, right? You can always tell the newlyweds when they sit next, because they're the ones actually looking at each other while they're eating. Instead of staring at their phone, they're staring into each other's eyes. You know, they're actually talking to each other. What a novel idea. But you know, sometimes their romantic displays are enough to just ruin your appetite, right? So take it somewhere else, guys. No, as a pastor, I get the privilege of counseling couples as they're preparing for marriage, and it's a deep desire of mine to help them build a relationship on a firm foundation. But you know what? Almost every couple comes in with these idealistic images of what their marriage is going to be like. I mean, they know there's going to be tough times, but there's no way that their partner is ever going to fail them. There's no way that they're going to be unfaithful, that their relationship is going to stand the test of time and transition and tragedy, because they really believe this. They were made for each other. They found that soulmate. They found the person that was designed for them. But we all know marriages that seem like they were made in heaven that all too often end up not too far from hell. And even though every new couple believes their relationship will last forever, we know the statistics tell a different story. That life happens. Isn't there something strange about all of this? How we ache for each other, how we desire relationship with others, that we believe we were made for one another, and yet we find deep, sustaining, faithful relationships with others so difficult, so hard? Now, it's true about more than just marriage, but that's one of the deepest relationships we can experience on earth. And somehow we mess it up, and somehow one thing or another creates a rift between us, and that broken relationship brings pain and suffering into our life, and it doesn't just affect us. It ripples out and affects all kinds of other people. And it's just the biblical story. It's just the biblical story being played out over and over and over and over and over and over again in our lives in our world. And if we go back to Scripture, what we find is that God has shared this story all the way back in Genesis. I want to go back there just to unpack what this means. And so I'm going to look at Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to start reading at verse 18, okay? I promise we're about halfway through, so don't think I'm just starting, okay? But Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 18. You can turn there. I think, yeah, it's going to be up on the screen as well. Listen to what the word says. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a fitting helper, a partner for him." And the Lord God formed out of the earth all the wild beasts, all the birds of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that would be its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and all the birds of the sky and all the wild beasts. But for Adam, no fitting partner was found. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep upon the man, and while he slept, he took a part of the man part of him and closed up the flesh at that spot. And the Lord God fashioned that part of the man he had taken into woman and brought her to the man. Now, I think it's interesting as you go back to the story that I don't know where we got this whole rib business from. Because if you look at the actual text, it's almost, it says a side of the man. It took a part of him, and it's almost as if God took man and pulled him apart and formed woman, and so that we're incomplete without that whole relationship. But it's significant that he took woman from the side so that she was to be a partner in life. I often say she wasn't taken from the head so that she would rule over her husband, or from the feet so that he would rule over her, but from the side so that they would be partners. And my friend liked to say, you know, the man may be the head, but the woman's the neck, right? And she can turn that head whichever way she wants it to go. But God saw, God created that the human beings, and he made them like him so that they were relational beings, and it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he goes on, and then the man said, he brought the woman to her, and then the man said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for from man she was taken. Hence, a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife so that they become one flesh. The two of them, and the two of them were naked. That's what we say around here, right? They were naked, the man and his wife, yet they felt no shame. God said it's not good for man to be alone. God created us as relational beings, and we need relationships to survive and to thrive. I think it's interesting how Scripture is validated again and again and again by reality in our world and by the sciences, right? If you're paying attention, it gets validated. And I remember in college reading about failure to thrive syndrome. Failure to thrive syndrome. If you've been around kids who've been abandoned or who haven't had a good home life, you'll come across this concept of failure to thrive syndrome. And one of the most significant examples of it was found in orphanages in Romania. There was a time when there were so many orphanages in Romania and so many kids that didn't have a loving family to belong to that these orphanages were overcrowded, and the people who ran them, and they were understaffed, but they did everything they could to take care of these kids. And they provided for every basic need that they had. They took care of changing their diapers, they fed them, they had enough food, shelter, and clothing. All their basic needs were taken care of, and yet these kids were dying. They weren't growing. They weren't developing the way that they were supposed to. They were dying. And it wasn't because their basic needs weren't taken care of. It was because they didn't have someone to love them. They didn't have human contact. And so they called this condition failure to thrive syndrome. We need more than just food, shelter, and clothing. We need more than just things in our life. We need loving relationships. God created us for relationship, and we belong in a loving family. And I believe that if we neglect that kind of contact that we need with God's people, we will fail to thrive in our spiritual lives. We won't develop and grow and mature in the right way if we're not connected in a loving family. A loving community. We need more than just the basics to survive. Now, I'm not willing to go as far as the Beatles. I heard them on the radio the other day. All we need is love, right? You've heard the song before. No, we do need other stuff. But we won't thrive without loving relationships, loving family, loving community in our lives. God created us that way. I think it's interesting where the passage ends up. As I said, the two of them were naked, right? Sorry, Jesse. But they felt no shame. What's going on there? There's more going on to that than just the fact that they didn't have any clothes on. It symbolizes the fact that they were open and honest. Nothing was hidden. Everything was out there, literally. There was nothing to hide. They were completely vulnerable. They trusted one another. It's the image of a complete, deep, open, trusting, vulnerable relationship with another human being. Nothing to hide. Nothing to hide. So that's great. What happened? Well, we don't have to read much further in the story before we find the answer, right? The very next verse starts with, "Now the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild beasts." You know the story. Sin enters the story. We broke relationship with God. And that vertical relationship and that horizontal relationship are inextricably tied together. And when the vertical relationship with God is broken, then the horizontal relationships with others just don't work. If we're talking about priorities, we have to get that straight. Because God created us for family. He created us for relationship. He made us for one another. And what happens? What's the first thing that happens when sin enters the story? If you go back and read it, the first thing they did is they started to cover themselves. They couldn't trust each other anymore. They couldn't be completely open and vulnerable and honest with one another anymore. Before they loved when God would come and they sought him out, but now all of a sudden they run and hide from God. And all we have to do is read the rest of Genesis to see what happens when sin enters the story. If you read it sometime, it's almost like a Jerry Springer episode exploded on the earth, if you know what I mean, right? I mean, violence, betrayal, inappropriate sexual relationship, arrogance, anger, envy, pride, murder, all the issues that we face in the world today, and they're all rooted in this story, and they're all rooted in this broken relationship. Now, we broke it, but we can't fix it. You ever broke something you can't fix? It's frustrating. We disobeyed God. We broke that relationship with him, and all chaos comes into the world. If that were the end of the message or the end of the story, this would be a really depressing service, wouldn't it? That's right. The good news is the story continues. The good news is that's not the end of the message. The good news is that even though we broke it, God can fix it. The good news is that even though we broke relationship and went running and hiding from him and tried to cover ourselves, God didn't give up on us and he came seeking us out. The good news is that even though we were hiding in some bushes like little kids scared from our father came searching after us and he said, "Where are you? What happened?" And the rest of the story of Scripture is the story of a God who comes seeking us out. The rest of the story of Scripture is the story of a God who keeps searching for us and saying, "Where are you? Why are you hiding? Why are you running from me?" To the point that he enters into the very story himself and enters into the creation in the person of Jesus Christ to assume all of our broken, sinful humanity, so that he might restore relationship with God. Now, I don't think the symbol of a cross is an accident. I think that there's something significant to be said about the fact that the vertical relationship and the horizontal relationships are inextricably tied together. And when Jesus went to the cross, he went to restore that relationship with the Father, to reconcile us to God. But because of that, we now have the ability to be reconciled to one another, to be restored in relationship with each other. I love the way Eugene Peterson says it. He says, "The gospel pulls us into community. The gospel pulls us into community. One of the immediate changes that the gospel makes is grammatical. We now say we instead of I, our instead of my, and us instead of me. When God restores that vertical relationship with Him, then He draws us into a community of faith. He draws us into a family. He draws us together. We can't have one without the other. They just go together. And when we submit our life to Christ, He pulls us into community. It's not good for man to be alone. We were created for one another, created for Christian community. Have you ever bought something? This is the last thought here. Have you ever bought something that said some assembly required? Some assembly required. That means you're in for a fun-filled evening, right? Week, yeah. I've got kids, so I don't know how many things I've put together that we've bought. You order it online, it comes, and it's just a bunch of pieces, right? It's all these little pieces, and there's a design about how to put it together, and my kids are sitting there hovering over my shoulder going, when is this thing going to be put together, right? So I can enjoy that what I bought. Some assembly required. And the thing is, you can't really enjoy that object that you purchased. It doesn't function appropriately until you put all the pieces together. Until all the pieces are in their proper place, then it begins to work the way that it was designed and created to work. And see, I believe the same thing is true in our Christian life, our Christian walk and following Christ. I believe that some assembly is required. I think that each of us as pieces of the body of Christ don't function properly unless God puts us and fits us together, and that we have to gather together and be a part of the body. We have to find our place in Christian community in order to really live into God's purposes for our life. Here's the problem. The world is good at squeezing our time, our energy, our thoughts, our attention, and our resources so that we no longer give priority and time to this. To being together as the body of Christ. And if we're going to keep the main thing the main thing, then I believe some assembly is required. We have to be together as the body. And that's why here at NAS Family, we have lots of opportunities to connect in Christian community through our life groups, through men's group, women's group, prime time, through worship, and many, many others. But we need to be together because God created us for community. I believe that the church is still God's chosen vehicle and vessel to bring His salvation and reconciliation to the world. I believe that God loves His church. I mean, we live in a world where so many people bash the church. And yeah, we're not perfect, are we? But God loves His church, and He still has purposes for it. And we need to stay connected to the body of Christ if we're going to live into His ultimate purposes for us. I'm going to ask Pastor Amanda to come, and she's going to lead us in a response song. We'll close out our service. But this is important stuff. Look around at your neighbors here for a minute. Just look around at everybody here. Just take a look at, you know, if we believe what we say we believe, you're going to spend eternity with these folks, right? Lord, help us. And so we get the opportunity now to begin to learn how to love one another, to do life together in Christian community, to have a faith family. Jesus restored that vertical relationship with God, but he called us into a ministry of reconciliation so that we would be reconciled to one another and we would reach out to the world with the hands and feet of Christ to say, be reconciled to God. So maybe as we sing, maybe there's some relationships in your life that you need to prioritize again. Maybe you've allowed things to really squeeze out time for Christian community. My prayer is that we would keep the main thing here, and that we would continue to be a church and a family that loves one another faithfully, and that we give space and time to really connect in Christian community. Let's sing together. Lord Jesus, we can love only because you first loved us. But we can't genuinely love you and say that we love you and hate our brother or sister. So Lord, help us to love one another with your love. Help us to serve one another. May this fellowship and family reflect your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your peace. May others find just a taste of your presence and your kingdom here as we prepare on this journey, this long journey, all the way home. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for the gift of this church and the opportunity we have to love and serve one another as an expression of your love for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's close our service by reading our mission statement together. It's up on the screen. As followers of Jesus, we are on a mission to make Christ-like disciples by loving God wholeheartedly, loving others faithfully, and loving our community authentically. May God bless you and keep you, and may He fill your life as you go to love Him and to love others in His name. Go in His peace.